Good afternoon to all. Welcome to our Facebook study today. It is Tuesday. I am in Tyler, Texas, downtown at the wonderful West Irwin Church of Christ. Glad to have you joining along. And I want to make an announcement here at the beginning, and also I'll remind you at the end. But this will be my last Facebook class for about a month, as probably many of you know. Earlier this past year, I had a bad PSA test on my annual physical that ultimately led to a prostate biopsy, which basically showed that I have prostate cancer. Thankfully, it's a very non-aggressive cancer, but when you hear the C word, it's still a bit rough. And no, I did not have prostate cancer on my 2024 and 2025 bingo card. But all of that to say, on Thursday, I will be having a surgery to remove the prostate. We looked at the options, talked to 26 or so men that had been through this, saw the different options of treatment, and decided the best thing for us and for me is to take that thing out and, as I said to our daughters, toss it in the dumpster. So that's what we're going to do, and that happens this Thursday. So I appreciate your prayers for me and for Joycey and for our family. I will be in the hospital one night and then will be home for a month. Basically, the doctor said, plan on being home a month. And so that's what we have ahead of us. All of that to say, I will not be doing the Facebook classes until the first week or two of March. So again, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your encouragement. I've received a lot of notes and cards and Facebook comments saying, you got this. God's got this. God's got you, and you are in our prayers. And so that is a truly a wonderful, wonderful blessing. So hello to my friends Cindy and Eric Mosley, and to everyone else that will be watching this either live or later on our different sites. And be sure and tune in if you're not able to be in our West Irwin Church of Christ worship service live in the auditorium. Then we live stream that every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Central Time on our website, which is westirwin.com. That's Erwin for Irwin, westirwin.com. You go there and then you scroll over to the tab that says connect. Go down and click on the link that says live stream, and that's where that is. You can also catch it on our West Irwin Live Facebook page, and it is shown there as well. And if you miss it live, you can go back and you can click at that live stream page. You can click a little bit below that big blue box where it says archives, and you can find previous lessons there. So enough of that. Glad to have you joining in. We're going to be finishing up 1 Peter chapter 1 today as we look at this great, great book from the Apostle Peter, one of the three that were closest to Jesus, Peter, James, and John. James, the brother of John, was the first apostle killed for the faith, recorded in Acts chapter 12. John, of course, the last one alive, as best we can tell, and wrote the Gospel of John, also the letters of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and of course received the revelation and wrote the book of Revelation, the final book in our Bibles. So as we've been going through 1 Peter 1, we're reminded that Peter is writing to disciples, Christians who have been transplanted, forced out of their homeland, and are now living in what we would call modern-day Turkey. Paul wrote the Galatians, to the Galatians. That could be some of these same areas. Paul and Barnabas, and then later Paul and Silas and Timothy went through modern-day Turkey on Paul's mission journeys. And so we get that perhaps some of them were able to be converted, others were transplanted, and that's who he specifically regards as our term, resident immigrants. And he calls them foreigners, and he reminds them that as we sing, this world is not my home. And so, how are we supposed to live? Well, that's where 1st and 2nd Peter come in. That's what he tells us. And as we saw over the last couple of lessons, he tells us in 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 16, to live holy lives. Listen to these words. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Christians are set apart. Disciples of Christ are supposed to be different in a world that does not recognize Christ, that does not seek to go by the Bible. Sometimes that happens, not all the time. But for the Christian, it's 24/7, 365. For the Christian, we are always to live lives that are sanctified. That's related to that word holy and the word saint. We live lives that honor God and conform to his word, as we're going to see in just a moment. But that's the first paragraph. The second paragraph that we're looking at, that we looked at this past Thursday, starts in verse 17. Not only are we to live holy lives because our God is holy, we recognize that, again, we are foreigners here. We live out our lives in reverent fear and seek to be holy according to God, and we have been redeemed to do that. And the price that we were redeemed for, to buy our freedom, was the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb. 1 Peter 1, verse 17, since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Remember that statement. We were not redeemed by things that don't last, by perishable things like silver and gold, some of the most valuable things you can find in this world. No, no, no. We were redeemed by something far more precious, the imperishable and precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. That's what bought our lives back, so that we can spend eternity with God. Even though we are sinners, we have been redeemed, as the song that I sang in my youth group days, by the blood of the Lamb. So what now? What now? Well, the rest of 1 Peter is really going to talk about that, starting in verse 22. We read that we are to live holy lives because our God is holy, that we've been redeemed by the precious blood of the perfect Lamb, Jesus Christ. And now we are called upon to be faithful and obedient to the everlasting and enduring word of God, the Bible. Listen to Peter's words starting in verse 22 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For, and now he quotes from Isaiah 40, for all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And then Peter says, and this is the word that was preached to you. If you don't love and respect the Bible, the word of God, I don't see how you can be pleasing to God. Because our whole life of faith and forgiveness and salvation and hope is found because of the living and enduring word of God. We are to love each other deeply. Love comes from the heart. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells me so, as our kids sing. And so we're called upon to do that. That's what living a holy life means. That's what responding appropriately to our redemption that comes through the precious blood of the Lamb. That's what that looks like. And how do we know when we're doing that? Because we're able to see this right here. It is because of this word of God that we recognize that this is what God's will is for us. He calls us to live faithful to the words that are found in this Bible. And Peter will say more about that in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he talks about the inspired and authoritative word of God. And he tells them, look, we weren't following cleverly invented stories. We didn't make this up, he says in 2 Peter 1. But he says, we were eyewitnesses. We saw him. We saw Jesus. We heard the voice that came from heaven. We saw the miracles. We saw the crucifixion. We saw the empty tomb. And then we saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses. These were things that we saw. And so he says, this is the living and enduring word of God. That's how he puts it here in 1 Peter chapter 1. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. And one of the things that impresses me so much with that use of words is it strikes back just to the previous paragraph where he says, you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down from your ancestors, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And that's what he says here in verse 23. You have been born again. Another way of saying you've been redeemed. You have new life. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. Just as Jesus, the Lamb of God, is that imperishable one who redeemed us through his blood, we see that this we have been born again now because of that word, that gospel, that message. We have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. And this great quote from Isaiah 40, which is a masterful chapter in the book of Isaiah, written 700 years before Christ. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Do you believe that, my friend? Do you believe that this is the word of God? And before you answer, pause for a moment. Do you live by it? Do you even read it? And are you willing to meditate on it, to consider it, to think about it, and to apply it to your life and how you live every day, to live a holy life? Because the God you read about in that Bible, he is holy. The gospel story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that imperishable price that was paid for us, the blood of Christ, so that we could be redeemed. Do you live by that? Do you seek to live your life in a way that is pleasing to that one who gave his blood for you and his life for you? And the way we do that is by being obedient to what he says. Jesus himself said in the Gospel of John, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How do we show that we love Jesus? Well, it's not just by saying that we love him. It's not just by even going to church or trying to maintain some kind of life. It's an obedient life. It's not just acting based on our feelings and what we want, but it's rather looking to the imperishable word of God, the living and enduring word of God. How significant is that? Well, there are all kinds of scriptures we could talk about. Matthew 7, where Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who is obedient to the will of my Father. And we could talk about John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, only if you obey my teaching are you my disciples. Then you will know the truth. Then the truth will set you free. John 8, 31 and 32. John 14, verse 6. I am the way and the truth, not a truth, not my truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. after Jesus, his disciples would say the same thing. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the message of Christ. That's the gospel. And Paul would tell the Galatian Christians, some of whom perhaps are hearing this letter being read to them. He would tell them, even if we or an angel from heaven were to come and to preach something different than what you have received, a gospel that is different than what you have received, let them be accursed. That's pretty serious. Paul would write to his young protege, Timothy, and he would tell him, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, rebuke, all of those things, so that we can be completely equipped for every good work. And then he counsels Timothy in chapter 4, really not counsels him, commands him, preach the word. Yes, it's important that we preach, but what is it that we preach? It must be the word of God. If it's inconsistent with the living and enduring word of God, then it is not faithful preaching. And Paul would say several times to Timothy and to Titus, faithful is the word. Faithful is the word, reminding us that that's what we are supposed to live by. As Peter concludes this great chapter, again, he quotes from Isaiah chapter 40, all people are like grass and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The biggest glory, the most powerful message, the most powerful person will live here for several decades and then they'll be gone. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And then Peter says, this is the word that was preached to you. We have every confidence in the world that the Bible we hold in our hands contains the inspired and authoritative word of God. It has endured for 2,000 years since Christ. It has endured for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. 2,000 years before that, which was the time of Abraham, 1,500 years before Christ, the time of Moses and the law, 1,000 years before Christ, 900 to 1,000 years, King David in the Psalms, Solomon in the wise words in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, 700 years before Christ, the powerful teaching of Isaiah, such as what we read, Amos, Micah, Hosea, all of those great, great words that meant so much to Jesus and should mean so much to us. And now here we are, my friend, called to be holy because the God we serve is holy. Reminded that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that redeemed us, but it was with the imperishable and precious blood of the Lamb, the perfect Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so we are called upon to be obedient and faithful to this living and enduring Word of God, because it is only the Word of the Lord that endures forever. Again, I'll be out for a while. Prostate surgery on Thursday. Keep me in your prayers. Keep Joyce in your prayers through the day Thursday, and then in the weeks ahead as I recover. And I look forward to being back with you again and taking up in 1 Peter chapter 2 sometime around the first week of March. May God bless you, and may God guide you, and may you hear that and be receptive to it and mold your life around it, that living and enduring Word of God. God bless.